Hey, people, this is episode 244, and this episode is a bit of a throwback episode in terms that it is just myself and Bender only. Jay was going to do the episode a little bit last minute. He said he was coming down with something, so he called an audible and said he's out. And, of course, Tommy was wiped out from the weekend and all the hardcore trick-or-treating with his young kids, which I guess can wipe a person out. But that's okay, because Bender and I, on this episode, go pretty hard in the Alec Baldwin situation where, you know, he murdered a person accidentally, unionizing of comic book creators, and just a whole bunch of more stuff. So, including Dune. We really liked Dune. So, if you want to hear all that and a bunch of extra pop culture stuff, then please listen to the episode. Share it, like it, subscribe, all that good stuff. But you can't do that, at least listen to it, until you hear the bomb go off, which should be coming about now.
What's up, Rick?
I'm ready, man.
All right, well, we are back. This is what I consider the most important swing day in all of the calendar year.
Mm-hmm.
And I should start by saying that we are not joined by anyone but myself and Bender, so it is an old school podcast.
Yes, sir.
But what I mean by that swing day is we're in between what was my mom's favorite holiday, so important holiday to me.
Halloween was
Halloween,
your mom's favorite.
Yeah. Okay. And what is my birthday tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
And
happy birthday.
Yeah, thanks. And November 1st isn't just that swing day. It's also marks probably the most unhealthy day in all of America where parents eat all their kids' candy.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a really rough day for a lot of people.
I did all right. I only had like two pieces. I was pretty proud of myself.
I ate more when I was handing it out because we didn't get a trick-or-treater till like 7:05.
See, they were all done in my neighborhood by like 7:20.
That's crazy. See, we had...
But there's a lot of little kids.
And yeah, you have a lot of young ones, and it's a new neighborhood, so people are very hip, like, very still much wanting to be a part of the neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
And
some guy loaded up he had a side-by-side with a trailer on the back and a fire pit, and he was just, like, cruising around with people. And I was like, that's cool.
Little much.
Cool.
Well, like I said, we didn't have trick-or-treaters until, like, 7:05, and... Then we had a good run.
Yeah.
But then they were done early. But Missy and I took off today and tomorrow. So we stayed outside until the fire burned out.
Oh, nice.
So,
like, does the top of your street get a lot of trick-or-treaters?
See, I think that's the problem.
Or participate? You remember, if they don't, you're not getting
Well, you remember when the Turners lived here, they did stuff, and that turned
Drew
people
down.
In.
Yeah.
And then across the street from them, my Bosnian neighbors, they're always gone on holidays because they're, you know, they're Bosnian. Who they give a fuck about American holidays?
Yeah.
They do like vacations and shit. So they're not bringing them down. So it's if they happen to see, then they'll come down.
Yeah.
And all the houses that do it are all down around the cul-de-sac. But
so you need like blinking lights.
Yeah, well, one of our neighbors had like magnetic, like emergency lights that he put on top of his truck.
That's awesome.
It made it look more like an accident, so nobody would come down the street.
Oh, shit, I don't want to be in a murder.
But we didn't see a lot of people crossing the street up there. I think they just started late, and I'll be honest, my thought was maybe people just, trick-or-treating's starting to become more extinct because trunk-or-treating's become so prevalent.
I think that is a thing, but...
And you can hit, like, six of them.
Yeah, but my neighborhood, man, it was pretty busy, and then it wasn't. Like, it was a solid hour and 20 minutes, and then it was done.
Let me ask you this, though. You live in a golf cart neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, people in neighborhoods that have golf carts are going to trick-or-treat. They're going to do the shit.
There wasn't quite as many. There was one dad who was on a little scooter, a little Segway type scooter, and he was cruising around, like, making his kids
walk. You ever going to get a golf cart?
No, I don't have a third car garage, man.
Yeah.
If I had a third car garage, I'd entertain it.
You'd entertain the idea of getting a golf cart.
I don't need one.
Golf cart or boat, which would come first?
Oh, it'd be a boat for
sure. Right. You just don't think that the wife's ever going to... You're going to have to get two promotions before you're in boat money.
She's obnoxious, but... Yeah, one day I'll get a boat. But, no, a couple of the guys on the street do have golf carts, and they don't use them as much as you think you would. I mean, we get drunk and cruise around every once in a while, but that's about it.
Yeah, if I got a golf cart, and we don't have a lot of neighbors that do have them, but if I had one, And it would be easy to get to the back way to our swimming pool. Yeah. So it would make sense, but it would mostly be used by teenagers.
Yeah.
And probably teenagers that have had something to drink sometimes.
That's mostly what ours is it's not teenagers drinking it. It's mostly the dads that are like, all right, fine, we'll take you around the block one more time because all the kids want to drive.
Yeah.
So then we just let them drive and we're drinking. I don't know how legal that is, but we're doing it.
Absolutely not legal whatsoever.
But we're doing
it. Listen, I'm no lawyer, nor have I ever been in the criminal justice system,
yeah.
But that's illegal.
Listen, officer, he's about as good as driving as I am at this point, I say let him get me home.
Hey, who's gonna cause more damage? Speaking of driving and accidents, we're sitting outside last night, about to hand out candy, and Missy gets a FaceTime. Now, the reason we told you we know about our daughter's, how many bases she's rounded with boys is because she's very open about everything. She calls Missy and FaceTimes her throughout the day to a much annoying fashion.
Yeah, that's cool, I guess.
But she FaceTimed last night with tears in her eyes. She goes, I feel like I just did something morally wrong. And my wife, being my wife, so here's what I thought. Here was my thought. Let me ask you. If knowing my daughter, and she said, and she was legitimately concerned that she had just done something morally wrong, what do you think it would have
been? I
think
she would have, like, forgotten to pay for something at Target and was, like, torn on whether or not she should go back.
Mine was, I thought that she had probably been extra mean to someone that didn't deserve it, and that person's very upset or, like, to the point of tears.
Mm-hmm.
Missy goes, did she just sleep with, like, three guys? Because straight to whoring it up.
Jesus, Missy. Wait, you watch way too many Lifetime movies.
Netflix shows, whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
Good night. You know what it is? Teen Mom.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I go, Missy, sleeping with... She goes, well, what else is morally wrong?
Is this a Stephen King novel?
So what she did is she accidentally backed into a car.
Oh.
And no damage to either car. And she talked to the person, but she was so shaken up.
Yeah, yeah.
And she left because they said it was okay. Well, then she thought it was morally wrong because she didn't tell the cops.
Yeah, no.
But I said, no, if they said the car's fine and your car, I checked her car, it's fine. I'm like, you're fine. I go, hey, listen, in the first couple years, everybody backs into something.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And, you know, some people back into things later in life. My grandma once backed across from our front yard straight over the road into the neighbor's fucking porch.
Yeah, I know
now, she was 87 and senile, but still.
I know several old people who have driven through stores.
Like, yeah. Oh, my God.
Several. My boss's grandma, my boss's mom drove through a store, and the lady I work with's mom also needed the keys taken away. Drove through a store. That's a fun call when you sit next to a lady that gets a call that your mom is shaken up, okay, but her car is inside of a great clip.
So I've got to think, I can count on one hand how many times in the last 15 years I've seen a news report where someone drove into a storefront.
Yeah.
It had to be the people you've known.
It has to be, because it was twice. I mean, it was both, you know, not to say that, you know, I'm not being sexist, but it was always an old lady, you know?
Yeah, well, it's always, as is mine.
And they're always driving cars, at least my grandma, when she drove a car that was like 9 times too big for her, and she could barely see over the steering wheel.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's bound to happen. The odds are in their favor.
Like a New Yorker or a LeBaron.
Lincoln town car.
Yeah. Speaking of, and that's a great segue of about accidents, I think we've got a lot of things. I didn't write anything down. I didn't bring
I got a couple things
special
here and
notes.
There.
But I love that someone on my drew all over my
D&D coasters.
My one red one.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to yell at them. Motherfucking teenagers.
They are the worst.
Yeah, they are. Anyway.
You know what's worse than them? 6-year-olds, they drink all of your drinks out of your refrigerator. Luckily, it's not my beer, but like,
yeah,
literally,
like, easy.
Can't keep
just
a Capri Sun
or
an
to
older
kid
Palmer
driving the go kart thing. If he's drinking all your drinks,
I'm like, you little sons of bitches, get out of my beer fridge.
Well, speaking of what's dangerous and what is accidental and what is dominating pop culture right now, so over or under. This is you feel pretty bad for Alec Baldwin right now in life.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
he's a dick, but I mean, like,
but
that's pretty bad.
Thought it was coming down on
me.
But yeah, I mean, that's, from all accounts, there's people on the set to blame. Now,
oh yeah,
I mean, bad to blame, but I did see some great Fox News posts some great redneck people that I'm friends with on Facebook say things like, this is what, maybe he should be punished. He's got to know how to handle a gun. No, motherfucker. He's an actor who was handed a gun and said.
And that director said, cold gun.
Good to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a whole protocol that apparently was not followed.
Yeah, the AD, the assistant director, was the one that said cold gun.
Yeah. He's not even supposed to hand the gun.
Right, right. But I love how it's turned political because it does involve Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
I'm surprised I've not seen Trump say anything yet.
His son was selling a shirt that said, it was like some sort of shirt that said Alec Baldwin's a murderer or some shit.
He has evolved into the ultimate douchebag.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, at the beginning, he was just an annoyance that we had to deal with. Now he's the ultimate
douchebag. He's just like an annoying troll that always looks coked out. Like
don't you think he hangs out with Pharma Bro?
Oh, he would for sure. Yeah. Is that guy in jail or is he
out
now?
I don't know. I think he's in jail.
I think he is too. I know he had to sell the Wu-Tang Clan album.
Yeah, so fingers crossed we're going to hear it one day. There's been a lot of steam around that.
I think you can listen. Technically, whoever owns it can listen to it because the contract was void because it was only for one buyer. Then that contract's expired.
And if they choose to release it, they can. Yeah. And my favorite thing about that clause, for those that don't know, Wu-Tang made a new an album, but they sold it to one person, and that person could choose to show it or not, and whatever that Pharma Bro's name was.
Skrelly?
Martin Skrillex
or something Skrillex like that.
Skrelly, yeah. Not Skrillex, that's a fucking
musician.
Yeah,
that's a DJ dude.
Yeah. I like that I did mime the DJ thing. Yeah. One, no one could see it. Two, you instantly knew what I was talking about.
Yeah, I know you're we've done this a couple times.
In the 70s, all the way up until the early 80s, playing air instruments did not include this motion.
Nope.
Now it's accepted as an air instrument. So
and buttons.
And buttons. Let me feel the beat drop. But no, so they made this album. He bought it. He put it safe, said no one's ever going to listen to it. But there was a caveat in the contract that said if a Wu-Tang member was able to successfully steal it, they were legally allowed to do so, and then they could do with it as they please. To my knowledge, they did not Ocean's 11 that shit.
Not yet, but hopefully. I think a bank owns it now, technically.
Well,
but back to the Alec Baldwin thing. Yeah, that sucks. But there was like so many failures on the set. They were using those guns to like shoot targets on the downtime.
Well, so the armorer saying that they weren't doing that.
Okay, but the armorer was a girl, and then the other guy
was like 24.
And apparently her whole family is, that's their whole life's business.
How
in Hollywood.
I'm a third generation armorer.
That's weird. But the assistant director, like you said, that handed the gun, got fired for a similar incident, like in 2013 or something. So I think he's just like a low-level murderer. Like, he's been trying to murder people.
He's a supervillain that we're not sure. We've never seen this type.
Like, you know, nurses that
he's Mr. Fragile or whatever from Unbreakable. He just plans things out perfectly.
That's what the first time
Mr.
he got
Glass.
It wrong.
Mr. Glass.
Yeah, the first time he got it wrong, this time he did. Like, those nurses that, like, slowly poison their patients to death. And like, it turns out she murdered 50 people over 20-year careerism.
Yeah.
That's this guy.
That guy. It's a shitty deal. It really is a bad deal. And I saw that he was. Back to sympathy for celebrities. But did you see him finally break a silence to paparazzi?
No.
Because they were following him. He was on the way to a retreat at a friend's vacation home in Rhode Island or something, and they were like following him. So he pulled over. He's like, "Hey, I'm gonna have this press conference." And then please, and you know, his wife, the fake accent woman.
Yeah. I mean, he's a weird dude. But she
was like going hard, and his credit, he was like, no, we're going to make this deal. Let me talk to him. And he's like, please just, and they're like, well, what can you give us? He goes, it's an ongoing investigation, so I can't.
Yeah.
Can't give it anything. I feel bad.
There was a video of him like crying on the side of the road, and that's awful.
And then he was like, now, and they're like, well, where are you headed? He goes, I'm not telling you that. Please, please stop trailing me. Stop passing me, taking pictures. He goes, someone has died.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, what do you think now that they're trying to ban guns on set? He goes, well, look. He goes, I'm all for enforcing and raising restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
No live ammo should be near a set.
Yeah,
he goes,
absolutely.
But. He goes, in the 75 years of movies, he goes, there's been probably close to a billion gunshots. And this is...
Happened twice for sure?
Twice for sure, yeah. Third, and a lot of times it's always like the most things that have happened is shrapnel inside the dummy that becomes a projectile. Yeah. That
he goes, blank actually fires wrong or whatever.
Yeah, or there's something. Yeah, there's something in it. So he's like, I don't know that just eliminate him from set. And I was listening to another podcast, and they're like, think of the three John Wick movies, and it's never happened. So you can't just say we're banning guns. That's
I think
stupid.
It was like probably up until John Wick, Underworld had like somebody counted the amount of like shots in that, and then it had like the most amount of shots in a movie by like 1,000 rounds or something.
Yeah. It was a one time it was Terminator 2.
Yeah.
And then it was, you know, Underworld, and then Hot Shots Part Due past that.
Because, oh, really?
And they had a little counter on the screen just past Terminator. And so, yeah.
Man, but I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
John Wick is the clear winner.
It's gotta
though.
Be. Yeah. It's gotta be at this point.
Hey, speaking of John Wick, did you see Aaron Rodgers, quarterback for Green Bay's costume?
Yeah, I did.
That was awesome.
It did look pretty
Apparently
good.
Apparently, he's been growing his hair out just to do that.
I thought he was just like going through like a midlife crisis. Looking like he hasn't been great. You know, like actually, he's turned it around, but he started out not great.
Yeah, now it might be the best team in the football.
Yeah. But did you? And then that John Wick, he was all over the Keanu Reeves was all over for. He gave the whole cast Rolexes for John Wick 4.
Well, he's the best guy in the world.
Yeah, and then they caught him like carrying set equipment, helping the team out.
In the Nice Guy Awards, it's like John Wick's or Keanu Reeves is in first. Shortly thereafter is Tom Hanks, and then a little further back is Paul Rudd. It's like
Yeah, that's got to be accurate.
Yeah, and if you want to throw a fourth guy up there, I don't know who it would be. I'd say Bill Murray, but I've been ass deep in watching Ghostbusters making of this week, last week, and Bill Murray's not always been a nice guy on sets.
No, I think he's kind of he can be kind of a dick, but
he's a cool guy to see in public.
Yeah, absolutely. There was that story where he just let a guy who practiced the violin practice while he drove around. He drove a cab.
That was all in that documentary we talked about on here on Netflix. One of the coolest documentaries. It might even be worth watching again.
Yeah.
But yeah, so anyway, so Alec Baldwin, accidental murderer. I do feel bad for him. I feel worse for the family.
Absolutely. I mean, he is a dick, but that doesn't mean you
want to. Yeah, you want him to accidentally shoot someone.
No.
So anyway, so let's jump into what story have you brought?
I brought a couple things. Did you see, we don't have to go too deep into it, but Image Comics voted to unionize today?
I did see the unionization of artists and stuff, which has been kind of long overdue.
Yeah, it has. I thought it was pretty interesting, and I thought I had it pulled up with their... basically, they want better hours, better pay, better...
So, here's the problem with it, though. The hours thing.
Well, they said that since the pandemic, they've had to do more with less.
Okay, because people... Well, and that's because people were craving for entertainment, and they wanted... But... Most artists that I've known, and I'm thankfully I know some professional artists. Sometimes they'll work 4 hours a day because inspiration is just not there, and sometimes they'll get heavy into drawing 14 to 16. And then but I gotta imagine what we're talking about, and it's weird that it would be Image Comics leading this, but it makes sense because Image is pretty cutting edge.
Yeah,
but it would be the guys drawing for DC and Marvel, who I would think, and Dynamite, and those companies like that own intellectual property, that want things to come out on a deadline.
That's kind of what I thought, too.
But then again, there's so many fucking books that are late.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, the hours thing is the thing that baffles me a little bit. I do think that they probably need better wages, because a lot of these artists have to do a lot of side jobs, have to do a lot of design work just to keep the bills rolling.
Exactly.
Even big ones, you know?
Yeah, and then they also said like things like they wanted better marketing and representation, because a lot of these guys, I think what it is it's they pour their heart and soul into a book. It doesn't go anywhere because Image, it's one of 8 or 9 books that gets released that month, and theirs dies on the shelf when, you know, they could have put a little more weight behind it. So they're wanting a little bit of that. And I thought the most interesting thing that they said was they want to form a consortium type thing to where, like, if you're an artist and it comes out that you're like a huge anti-Semite or you sexually assaulted a bunch of women, like all of the artists and the writers can get together, and if they do a vote and say like, we got to end this run, this guy's got to go, they just shut it down and the studio can't say, well, we're making money on it. I thought that was kind of an interesting...
Yeah, but also that's a little weird, too, because it's popped up recently with, like, Incredible Hulk.
It's not Incredible. It was
Immortal Hulk.
Immortal. Yeah, that guy was a... like slipping in anti-Semite.
He's a member of Comicsgate also.
Is he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So Comicsgate is really the big thing we're talking about here when they bring this up. But I'll say this. For the most part, DC and Marvel, especially Marvel, it's owned by Disney, they're not going to touch those people either. They're not going to just allow them to keep going.
No, yeah.
If it comes to light, mind you. Sometimes if it's not coming to light...
Well, they let the Immortal Hulk guy go twice. He got two strikes.
Yeah, well, and the second one, though, the book, all of his book, the stories were all written.
Them. Yeah.
The first one... Here's the first one. And I'm not defending Marvel or the guy at all. I'm just saying from Marvel's perspective, there was justifiable or plausible deniability in maybe it was an accident.
Yeah.
We know it wasn't.
Was it the Jewish?
Yeah, and it was the way it was.
Jeweler.
It was Jeweler, and it came up Jewer.
Yeah.
And the name was a...
It was a mirror image. Yeah,
it was pretty bad stuff. So, and it was on purpose. And then mixed with his history. So, yeah, they should have let him go. And they did part ways. And
sucks,
he's not going to
work. He's a good artist, but.
And there was a lot of stuff like that. But I think the unionization is big. I think they're asking for a lot. I do think one thing it will help is something that we've been looking for a long time, the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund. So these artists can get help for getting properties and stuff they make. Where I don't think it's going to work is there's still a lot of artists, and I'm not poo-pooing on artists or writers. I love comic books, and I love that we need the creators or we don't have them. But one of the biggest complaints in all the comic books is that guy creates someone like a Venom. There's been a lot of rumbling over the who created Venom of late. And then they don't see residuals when the movies come out. Now, my problem with them even asking for that is it's one thing if you create that character in Image and it goes to movie.
Mm-hmm.
You do it for Marvel and DC. You're working for them and doing a specific... They own the characters.
Yeah. I think they've kind of fixed that now. I think...
It's not good.
It's not good, but if they use like some of your direct storylines, like Civil War...
It's
I think
they 50K and two tickets to the premiere.
I don't even think it's 50. I think it's 5.
Something absurd.
It's not a lot of money.
And I'm going to go back to this, and I think that's shitty for the guys that did do this with their creative... But again, if...
You kind of run... That's any industry.
Any writer or director that makes a movie for Warner Brothers and they come up with a cool character, Warner Brothers owns that character.
Yeah, I work for a pretty large aerospace company, and if I come up with an idea, like I know a guy
on the clock,
on the clock, it's theirs. I know a guy who he came up, and it's a simple idea, but it was just painting the tools a certain color so that when they ran through the x-ray, if you forgot a tool in a plane, it would show up.
Yeah,
it was his idea. He found the paint, the right kind of paint to use and everything, and they were like, cool, thanks for that idea.
Yeah, well, and that's just the thing, too. For you, it's even more extreme. Yeah. If you're sitting at home and come up with a good idea and type it out on your company-given laptop, company
it's
owns
theirs.
It. Doesn't matter if it's your downtime.
I mean, it sucks, but it is what it is. But you get in. That's you get into the business knowing that to a degree.
And if you're going to have... I'm not saying I want artists and writers to start holding ideas to keep up for themselves.
Yeah.
But if you want to be paid for that character long term, do that. It's risk reward.
Mm-hmm.
You might not get the chance to have that character over here. You will over in Marvel or DC if they like it. But then it's not yours anymore.
Yeah, but I mean, but look at like guys like Bendis and like Kirkman and all the things that they've done. I mean, like they're probably the most successful of spinning off their own worlds. And I mean, I guess Millerverse to a degree. But
Bendis
it's not...
created Ultimate Spider-Man, and he don't own that.
No, he doesn't. Yeah. But he's got his own. All his own comics going and doing
and
his
Miller
own thing.
Miller has massive stuff too.
Yeah,
I mean, he Wanted was his. So.
I mean, and Kirkman, well, the original artist from that's another example because the original artist from Walking Dead got
Terry
into
Moore?
It.
Or Tony Moore?
Yeah, something
not
like
Tony
that.
Moore. I can't remember who it was.
Yeah, either way, but he was mad at how successful that was, but they didn't get along in the beginning or whatever. But it is what it is. It's it's a risky war. I'm all for unions, though. I think it's great. I think you should.
Well,
collective bargaining is an important thing for anybody to be able to do.
Yeah,
thought it was interesting that
some
it did
of the things
out of
they're
that.
Asking for is seems like it's thrown in because they know that's what they'll be able to concede.
Yeah, but like anything, like any negotiation, you ask for a mile and you meet in the middle somewhere. You know.
Here's the other thing, though, too. That's going to be harder for them too. Who are they negotiating this with?
From the article I read that if they have. either Image can just, the board can just say yes, or they got to get like 2/3 of the writers and artists to sign on, and then automatically it goes into, I forget the word, starts with an R, I can't think of the word. But it's either those two things. They can either say, sure, you guys can join a union, or they got to get ratification or whatever, or 2/3 of the
people. Yeah, but I mean, so this is, but what my point there was a little corporate. Facetious. I knew it was with Image, but what good does that do them? Because Marvel and DC can say no.
I think at that point it would just be Image, and just a snowball effect. I think the hope would be that the writers at Image and DC would want to join this union, and then if they get enough of them under collective bargaining, you can't say no if you get enough of the majority of the workforce to say, we want to unionize.
Yeah, but again, though, we're not talking about a bunch of people. Like they would have to have a massive majority of them.
Exactly.
Because
normally
a snowball effect... Snowballs very rarely roll uphill.
Yeah.
And you're at Image, which is a great company producing some amazing comics, but you're not DC and Marvel.
I mean,
and you're not even close.
Yeah.
And so what I mean, though, is if they do that, and even if they got this, think about how many guys. So you say 2/3, but what does that mean? Because 2/3 of the known comic book artists and
I think
writers,
it's the paid staff.
Yeah, that's what I mean, though. At Image,
yeah,
they're not being paid.
They're contract work, I think.
DC and Marvel could say, I don't care.
Yeah.
And you can't...
I mean, they can, but I think that's the hope, you know?
Yeah, I know. It seems false hope, though. They need all... So, because, again, I'll go back and say, like, so 2/3 of the writers in the world, comic book writers.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? Because 2/3 of the known ones make up probably half of the ones that think they're writers.
Yeah.
And DC and Marvel can say, if you guys are, we just won't hire union writers. And then they'll just find other writers. You see that with labor and everywhere.
Yeah, but I mean, at some point, though, maybe that it would work. But at some point, I think you're going to, the hope is that you either get enough people. That's with any union. The hope is you get enough people to like band together and stick it out like a brotherhood or where, however you want
to
say it.
Well, what you need, and it's with anything from fighting to anything and acting and all of it, what you need is you need the Bendises, the Millers, the Ellises.
Yeah, the big names to get
behind
you.
You need all of them.
Yeah, you need the punching power.
But, and again, though, that's what I mean, it's impossible to say how this would work or if it has a chance of work because, again, you're not negotiating against one entity. You're negotiating against Dynamite, your Boom Studios, Image, Marvel, DC. So there's so many companies out there, and companies in this country, we know this, can literally say, we just won't hire union workers. Yeah. Or companies can say, we only deal with union workers.
Yeah.
Here's my fear, though. And I'm for the writers and artists have needed, probably they missed their time for this back in the 90s when they were very powerful. They've needed this for a long time. But if wages go up and comic sales are going down, as is already on some of them, we get these weird spikes. We might just see print accelerating the thing that people have been saying since 94.
The death of print.
The death of print.
Yeah, but
actually, they've been saying it since 85, 6 with Ghostbusters.
Yeah, but I mean, like, at the same time, though, like, we are in a freaking absolute golden age of movies and
content.
Content. And.
But that actually, I think, lends itself to not help their cause.
It could. I mean, it's a gamble either way, anytime you roll the dice.
Yeah.
But either way, that I just thought that was an interesting thing to pull up. The other couple things I brought, there was a few trailers that dropped this week that I thought looked pretty good. Today, the Book of Boba dropped.
I watched it. Looks awesome.
It does look awesome. Looks like a lot of fun. It seems like it's all going to take place on Tatooine, and he's just basically building a criminal empire.
Well, it's Tatooine is the base of their criminal empire.
Yeah.
It's going to have far-reaching effects, kind of like Mandalorian kind of does.
But it's a 6-shot, right? Like, it's only 6 episodes.
Yeah, I think so.
And they're probably maybe 30 to 45 minutes, so it won't be like an overarching story.
It'll be huge, though.
But it's going to be a good time. The armor looks great. He looks
like he's
healthier.
Slimmed down a little
bit.
Yeah,
he looks healthy. He's not as gray looking.
Here's my thing. I think it looks amazing. I'm excited for it. I'm going to gobble it up.
Oh, yeah.
But you and I have talked about this. I am so badly wanting a non-Skywalker-related story.
Absolutely.
And we're just no closer to getting it, I don't
think. No. And, like, the movies, they're in such, like, disarray right now. Like, studio-wise, they don't know where they want to go or what they want to do. They got all these directors in the air. That Patty Jenkins is maybe supposedly doing one.
Well, here's what they did creatively. They painted themselves in the corner because they finished the Skywalker saga that takes place after The Mandalorian and all that. But what they did is the most buzz that Star Wars has gotten in since a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away has been Grogu.
Yeah.
And his story, by all accounts,
went back to Luke.
Should have had something going on in the trilogy, in the newest trilogy. It doesn't make sense. So if we are going to get another story, they're going to have to figure out how to make that one make sense.
Yeah, unless he, like, dies horribly and Luke's even more bitter about that on top of everything else. Like, it's an unsatisfying ending. They kind of did that with Darth Maul, too, because, like, they were trying to make him cool. But they basically killed him in an episode of I think it's the Rebels one or whatever.
Well, they first killed him unceremoniously in a movie. In the first movie in which
But then they brought him back.
Yeah, but for the people that didn't watch those shows, they were just like, well, Darth Maul looks cool.
Yeah.
And they cut him in half and he's over. But we know, because we're ultra geeks, that he did survive. They gave him these like robot
spider legs.
For the body.
Well, he started out as like a part spider, like his force witch side of him. Kept him alive. It's more than just the Force.
Yeah, but then so and then that character came back, and then he did have a long story.
Yeah,
before he was eventually killed again.
Yeah, and he was kind of killed quickly by Obi-Wan, which the only like satisfying thing of that is the fact that like him and Obi-Wan battled
finally
forever.
Bookended it.
Yeah, and it was pretty good. The other two that I saw that looked pretty good is Resident Evil. They're just doing the game.
I'm excited,
which
about
I'm fine with.
Yeah.
And it's got the Wesker is the guy from Umbrella Academy on Netflix, which is a fucking spectacular
show. It is a reboot of sorts, and it looks awesome.
Yeah, I think it's going to be terrible at best, but it's going to be a fun, terrible ride.
So the Resident Evil series, the movies.
Okay. I stopped after like three.
But what is the lasting legacy of those films? Good, bad, or indifferent?
I think it's indifferent.
They can't be bad because they made so fucking many
of them. And they all made money, and they're all dumb, but they're dumb in like this.
I enjoy watching them.
I tried watching that Monster Hunter, which was W.S. Anderson and Mila Jovovich did. That's her husband, right? That's who does all those?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not great. It's like real bad.
Yeah, she's in all of his movies.
Yeah. Like, is she keeping him in the directing chair, or is he keeping her in movies?
Well,
she was a model
before him, and she did have a career, Dazed and Confused. And
yeah, she's a good actress, so it's got to be her keeping him in the...
I don't know.
Whatever. Are they just ultra dorks and
also,
they do what they want?
Is she a good actress?
She's not terrible.
Or she just picked roles that haven't been very big stretches. And when she has, like Joan of Arc, didn't really pan out.
No.
I believe Joan of Arc was his also.
Was it?
I think.
I have no idea. But I mean, like in Fifth Element, she barely speaks English in it. So, I mean, I could probably do that role. I don't know if I could pull off that skin suit, though.
Oh, man. If you could, we'd have a different relationship because she has got it going on in that movie.
And then the other one that I thought looked pretty cool, and this kind of came out of left field to me. I knew they were doing it, but I didn't expect it to be this way, was the Lightyear trailer. Did you see that?
Dude, that trailer looked so good.
It looks so cool.
Like, unbelievably cool. Like, Paul W. Anderson. Yeah, that's his name. Yeah, but like,
I'm thinking of Wesley Anderson.
Wes Anderson,
yeah.
But Paul W. S. Anderson. And before we jump into the Lightyear trailer, let's look back here because... he did Resident Evil, Resident Evil Apocalypse. These were his producer. I gotta see his directed. That's what I want to see. So here we go. He's directed a shit ton of stuff,
and none of it's really great.
Yeah, not so great. So Resident Evil was his first big break. Then Alien vs. Predator. Then Resident Evil Apocalypse. Then Extinction. Then Death Race. Then Resident Evil Afterlife, then Death Race 2, then Resident Evil Retribution, then Death Race Inferno. This guy is a machine at franchises. Yeah. Then Resident Evil The Final Chapter, then Death Race 4 Beyond Anarchy, then Monster Hunter. Oh,
I guess he got rid of Jason Statham after Death Race 1 then, right?
And then he's got a movie coming up in The Lost Lands. A sorceress travels to the Lost Lands in search of a magical power that allows a person to transform into a werewolf. So far, only two names are signed on. One being Mila Jovovich. The other being Dave Bautista.
Really?
Yeah. That guy will make anything.
He will make anything.
And sometimes he hits it out of the park.
Yeah.
Before we go to whatever, that Back to the Lightyear trailer, I did watch a David Bautista movie today.
Dune?
Finally, and I fucking loved it.
Dune?
Yes.
Yeah, dude.
I loved it.
Dune was fucking great.
The only thing that I had negative to say about it is the fact that it was up in the air whether they were going to greenlight a sequel till they saw how this one was done. And this one ended in the most Lord of the Rings fashion ever.
Yeah, right? There should be another one, like, 6 months from now.
Yeah.
Or, like, next year at this time. Why are they like, oh, no, we got to shoot it in 4 fucking years?
And after they greenlit it, the director came out and said, I'm very happy they greenlit it, but now I'm very worried that the time frame they're giving me is not very realistic.
Yeah.
Like, oh, great.
And he wants to make it actually like a trilogy, I guess, because he split the first book
in
half.
Well, there's 112 books.
But he only wants to do the first 3 because he said the rest of them get weird.
That's all right.
Or no, the first 2 maybe, because the rest of them get weird.
Because
this is a split in the first book, and like I was reading today that I guess they haven't even brought in the Harkonnen guy who is Sting in the actual like 1984 or 89 movie.
Yeah.
Whatever his name is. But dude, I loved it, and I went in not knowing anything about Dune at all, and I kind of like stayed blind on purpose, and the world he builds is gorgeous.
Dude, and it's so Frank Herbert, so I guess they should just stick to his books?
Yeah, I think so.
You know,
but even his books, I think, get kind of weird at some point.
The guys like Hykus and love them. I mean, they love them. And Dusty, and then a lot of people I know.
I'm going to listen to them. I know I can't.
I think I'm
going to
try it.
I'm going to try listening. I know I won't be able to read it.
But I it looked amazing. It was. I got to tell you this. My daughter, one of her Four Horsemen or Four Rushmore Boys that she likes, which is essentially, I think it's Ryan Bader. It's
don't
Harry
know who that
Stott, Cardinal center fielder.
Oh, Ryan okay, Bader. Okay. I was trying to figure out what actor that is. Okay, I know what you're talking about then.
Harry Styles is like the top of the list.
Okay.
Then I think it might be Tyler the Creator, and then Timothy Chalamet.
That is a
She's got different types.
Good for her.
But I tell you this, that Timothy Chalamet. That kid's a star.
He's a good actor, man.
He's a good actor, and he picks his roles.
Yeah.
He's Willy Wonka in the prequel coming up soon.
Yeah, I don't care about that at all.
Yeah, but it might be crazy.
Yeah.
But anyway, back
Same with Momoa, though. Like, Momoa just, like, just bro Momoa is, like, spectacular. Like, if you just let him do his thing, he's great at it.
And Oscar Isaac dies in it.
Yeah.
I mean, not spoiler, sorry guys, if you know the story whatsoever. But,
yeah, and I did it.
A lot of big names eat it, you know, in this.
Oh, yeah.
Game
like,
of Thrones,
like. You know what I didn't realize after watching it is Stellan Skarsgård is the guy from It, and Alex Skarsgård. I didn't realize that was their dad at all.
Oh, yeah.
I never put it together.
Who was Alex Skarsgård in this?
He's not in this, but I mean the guy from True Blood and the guy who does Pennywise in It.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't realize that was their father, who's a spectacular actor. Stellan Skarsgård?
You're talking about the guy from...
The head Harkonnen guy.
The head okay, the older Skarsgård.
Okay,
that's why. So then there's Eric Northman Skarsgård.
Yeah.
I got one up for you. Me and Missy are watching a B-movie horror movie this week, and she goes, that guy looks like he could be related to the Skarsgård brothers. Looked it up, the third Skarsgård brother.
Oh, there's a third one?
And he does B-movie horror movies.
Nice.
So they're like at every level.
Nice, that's awesome. No, but like I thought Dune was so much fucking fun.
Yeah.
I dove into the lore a little bit. I didn't realize like... they don't have computers at all, and the Harkonnen, like the Duke's Harkonnen buddy, whose eyes roll back in the back of his head. He's their computer. I didn't realize all that stuff. The spice shit was pretty weird, but I was into it. The worm looks like a big butthole. I'm glad they stuck with that.
And giant.
Yeah,
they make them way bigger looking than the original.
I loved it though. It was great. I think Jason Momoa apparently is not done because there's like cloning technology or something, so they're gonna bring him back.
So I'm gonna go back to something that I recommended because I watched season one, but I finished season two, which is a Jason Momoa and Dave Bautista.
Is it the oil one or
C?
Okay,
it's
I still haven't pulled the trigger on it.
Good,
yeah,
it
I need
is
to watch.
Good,
it.
It is worth watching. And season two, about 3 episodes in the season two, I was like, I don't know. Hold on 1 second, I'm gonna pause. He's just down here on the couch whining.
Yeah.
But anyway, so back to the sorry people, my dog is whining.
Dogs are whining.
So it the first three episodes, I was like, man, I don't know where they're going with this. I know where they should be going, but this, and then the final three episodes are so fucking good.
Of the first season?
Of the second season. First season's great.
Oh, okay.
But the second season, it was like, started out, and I was like, okay, I like the first one enough. See, and but about the two-third, or about the one-third mark, it starts building steam, and the final third of the second season is fucking being better than the first season.
Okay.
And I gotta tell you, I said this once before in here, I'm gonna say it again, guys. We are massive fans of Khal Drogo. We enjoyed the Aquaman movie, so Jason Momoa is kind of in our wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Even though it's a bad movie, I don't think he was a bad Conan in a bad movie.
I didn't watch it.
You don't need to. He in C is so good at acting, because I'm telling you, everybody in it has to be blind and do it, and everybody has their way of doing it, but none of them are as good as he is.
Yeah.
Like, when he, all his battles, he slides across the ground and comes up with his attacks, and it's almost like from season one to season two, he's taken more acting classes on being blind, because he's gotten better and better. Like, the way he moves is so unique. Like, in season one, he's standing up and moving around. In season two, of course, he was injured for a good but he's always bent over feeling.
Okay.
And he's got his sword as his feeler, and it's always at the ready to pull out and swipe.
Oh, that's cool.
It's just, he's doing some shit that I think needs to get more credit for.
Yeah. That was, I guess, my only complaint in Dune was when he was battling. I think the whole point in the shields is that's why guns don't work, because
the
high impact velocity of it, the shield works better, and you're supposed to be able to slide a blade in slow. Yeah. And his just always looked like he just fucking slaughtered people.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was still cool. I loved the movie.
And he's very similar to how he slaughters people in C, too.
Yeah.
And he always, what's cool in C, he always has this wraparound kill. Like, he's punch, 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 and he'll put it on one side of their neck and wrap around their whole head and just slice.
Yeah.
Anyway, we digress. Back to Lightyear. This is something I didn't know was in the works.
I didn't either. Or I did know it was in the works, but I did not expect this.
I didn't expect it, one, to look so amazing.
Yeah.
It's not a toy.
No, it's like the toy is based on this badass astronaut.
Like, this was the movie the toys were based on.
Yeah.
And two, it looks interesting.
Yeah.
And fun.
Yeah.
And like a space epic.
Yeah, it's a space drama.
But it looks like, I hope we get three of them, you know?
The best tweet I saw was, the best part about this movie is the fact that Chris Evans is the real guy, and he's so popular and famous after this that Disney couldn't afford to pay him for his voiceover likeness, so they had to settle for Tim Allen.
That would be, see, that's a meta joke.
Yeah,
that's
dude, it was deep. Yeah, I was like, that's pretty fucking funny.
Chris Evans, though, is also, It's like, what I want this to happen is that this is the movie that the toy line's based on that was so popular they created a cartoon that was Tim Allen's voice. Like, I told Hayden, I go, you need to watch the Lightyear trailer. I'm pretty jazzed.
Yeah, it's got the David Bowie song get you, like, right out of the gate. And you're like, oh, man, this is going to be exciting.
How about, let's talk real quick, since we have watched Dune. I tell you this, there's a movie I haven't watched. I'm going to watch it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're going to go, one thing we're going to do for my birthday is we're going to go to the new Shamrocks and eat.
Okay, is it open?
Today.
Okay,
nice. And two, I'm going to watch a movie that I want to watch, and I'm picking the Army of the Dead prequel.
Oh, the prequel.
Army of Thieves.
Yeah, I just put that on my list to watch. Eventually, I'll get around to it.
I'm a sucker for Zack Snyder doing...
Me too.
I'm not a sucker for... I'm not... Here it is. It's going to be weird. It's going to sound like I'm a hypocrite, because I don't like Zack Snyder being Zack Snyder in the DC universe, but I like Zack Snyder being Zack Snyder in his own shit.
Yeah, where he doesn't have to, like, have a real studio center room say, don't do that.
But here's where it gets silly. I don't like him doing his own shit when it's Sucker Punch, which is very awful.
Apparently, there's a director's cut of that isn't terrible. Well, I don't believe it.
I don't buy it either. That's a bad movie.
Yeah, it is a bad movie.
Visually, it's amazing.
Yeah, it looks awesome. Like, the... It's a weird...
And it looks amazing from casting all the way up to
the
effects.
It's a weird fantasy thing. Like, I don't know. Did a 13-year-old boy write this in his room?
How about something I'm assuming we both haven't seen yet, and to all of our surprise, I don't know what our expectations were, but I did not expect Eternals to be the worst-rated Marvel Cinematic Universe movie today.
I had a feeling. You want to try this?
I've had it. It's awesome.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I love it. I love the can. I love it. We're talking about
Main and Mill is fucking killing it.
Yeah, we're talking about Main and Mill. Their hero are their Benny the Jet, which is a can that is based straight off of Sandlot.
Yeah.
And you've got a babe saying "Heroes get remembered, legends never die." It's awesome.
PF Flyer shoes on there. The doll. Hercules.
Yeah,
it's fucking great.
So, but anyway, yeah. So it's not favorable. The reviews.
I mean, I'm still going to see it. I'm probably still going to see it in theaters. The only one I never saw in theaters, and I really enjoyed it, was Ant-Man and Wasp. That's the only one I didn't see in the theaters. But I had a baby like the week it came out. So
how about here's my complaint on just the trailers. And the trailers, I thought there's some cool looking stuff in it.
Yeah.
The CG on the Deviants looks a little hokey.
It looks bad, right?
It does.
It does look bad.
They look too fake.
Mm-hmm.
The Chitauri didn't look bad.
No. You know, like, some movies do that. Like, if you go back and watch Jurassic Park from 1993, that's some of the best CGI
work.
Dude,
it holds up.
And it's still, and it really does hold up. And you're like, how have you not gotten way better at this? Like, you think they would at least put, like, 2012's Avengers, Hulk, and Chitauri level of effort into it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like they are. I don't know. It's a big movie. I think you're either going to really like it or you're really not going to like it. I think it's just trying to go places. I think they're trying to make like a Dune style world or story, and I don't know if that's going to work. At least good for them for like trying to get outside of the checkbox of good guys, bad guys, good guys win type thing. It seems like it's a little different than that.
What about? Sorry, I blanked there for a second to come back what you said.
That's all right.
But what about the Ant-Man and Wasp Quantumanium news?
With the weird text?
Or Bill Murray?
Oh, yeah, Bill Murray's in it?
Yeah,
what's he going to be? Do you
know? I
don't know,
spoiled himself, but then he had to recant and say, hey, sorry. But now, like, we know he's in it.
Is he going to be like a multiverse-type version of Hank Pym?
I don't know. I hope he
comes in
uber-powerful.
Either that or he just... what's his name in Ghostbusters?
Peter Venkman.
Maybe he just comes in as Peter Venkman, and they're like, fuck it, we're crossing it over. Why not? Disney bought it.
Yeah. Speaking of that, dude...
The reviews on that are really good.
I'm pretty hyped for it.
I am hyped
We're like
for
a
it.
Week... 2 weeks away.
Is it? That's... No.
November 17th.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And...
I'll be seeing that in the theater. I'm gonna take Vera with me too. She loves Ghostbusters.
Shane wants us to go see it with him.
Oh, okay.
As a like crossover podcast thing.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'm 100% in on that movie.
What movie were we all supposed to go see together?
Insane one that with Nicolas Cage that we all want to see together. That I showed you the trailer.
It's not Pig, right?
No, it's the no, but Pig's like his best reburied movie of all time. It's the one Escape from Something Town or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Awesome.
Yeah, it does look awesome.
Real quick, though, we just had double feature movie night in my driveway. Mm-hmm. And one thing we did Monster Squad and we did Ghostbusters. I think
Monster Squad is so much fun.
We're going to do a Christmas one, too, a double feature Christmas one with a couple of fire pits. But I got to tell you this. Because of that Confused Breakfast podcast that I've been listening to, they did Ghostbusters for Halloween and Ernest Scared Stupid, but Ghostbusters, and they did a lot of trivia, so it made me...
I haven't seen Ernest Scared Stupid in forever.
Oh, yeah. So it made me go take a deep dive on the trivia section of IMDb on Ghostbusters. So the best lines that... So this movie was a movie where Bill Murray was notoriously hard to work with.
Yeah. He didn't even know if he was going to do it.
Yeah, and people were mad at him constantly, but here was the problem. When he was serious and he showed up, like, he ad-libbed a lot, and the lines, like, the best lines in the movie, like, when Dickless over here turned off the power grid, and the mayor goes, is that true? It is true. This man has no dick. Ad-libbed. That was ad-libbed.
Yeah.
The doing the piano, they hate that. Ad-libbed.
Yeah.
And apparently, he was so good in the movie that they kept fucking up the shoots because everyone in the set was laughing at his ad-libs. But they all made the movie. Yeah. Like, they say at least... Not 50% of his lines, but over half the funny things that were said was him improvising.
Yeah.
And Rick Moranis' stuff was improvised. The way he was acting, like when he was mimicking the dude and stuff, that all improvised. He just did that on his own.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and
I knew that he was like on the fence from the movies that made us Netflix thing about like whether or not they didn't know if he was going to do it like up to the day he showed up and was like, let's go, guys.
Well, there's some other stuff that's awesome in it that they don't, you don't even notice. Like, for instance, Rick Moranis, what's the funny thing about him? Like when he first meets Dana and then he goes back to his house.
Yeah.
He's locked out.
Yep.
He goes. He leaves the party to go see her. He goes back. He's locked out.
Yeah.
When he's running from the demon dog, he tries to get into the restaurant.
Yeah,
he's locked out. He's the keymaster. That is a funny joke.
I never put that together.
Down in that movie.
Never put that together.
There's also this cool fan theory that so in the second one, she has a baby, but we know nothing about where the baby comes from. They've never talked about it. There's a rumor. There's a great fan theory that when the keymaster and the gatekeeper hook up, that's Oscar's that's the product of it, and neither know it.
Yeah.
And she would have never thought to get a DNA test because she doesn't know it.
Yeah.
So logically, so a lot of people think that the violinist with the runny nose that Peter makes fun of is given credit as the dad because that's the only other people other than Venkman that she slept with, and they think that the reason her and Venkman didn't work out is she ended up being pregnant with someone else's baby as they started dating after the first. So that makes all the sense. Yeah. And all of that would be great in story.
I love stupid fan theories like that on Twitter that like people dive into. My favorite line on Ghostbusters the other day was, I forget who wrote it, but one guy was like, I love watching Ghostbusters with my kids and coming up with excuses on why that ghost is given a blowjob.
Another great thing. That's a dream.
Yeah.
It's not, is he getting a blowjob? Because, so it goes into dream mode, and he's wearing a French Revolutionary outfit.
Yeah.
And it's like big shoulder pads with laces, and then she starts giving a blowjob. But then they pan out, and they're all having weird reactions, not in dream. So either they're all dreaming the same thing, or ghosts are molesting all of them.
I'm going to have to, maybe I'm only watching this.
Because one rolls off the bed, one is throwing his hands up in the air.
And see, I don't remember that. Like, but maybe I'm just watching it on like TNT or TBS
or something. It's real quick.
Yeah.
But so it goes into dream sequence, and the ghost starts doing it, but then when they pan out a dream sequence, every one of them is convulsing in a weird way.
Yeah.
Like, they're all getting ghost raped.
That's super weird.
Also, not...
I guess it was consensual. I don't know if it was rape. He seemed like he was consensual.
Also, not trivia, but speaking of... I mean, and this is an all-time classic movie. In fact, this movie is as hard 5 out of 5 as you get.
Yeah.
Venkman's the most rapey Me Too guy in the world.
Oh, yeah. But it was the 80s and everybody was pretty rapey back then.
Okay, also, one other question about Ghostbusters. When he picks her up for the date and finds out that she is possessed by Zool.
He at least backs off then.
Yeah, he does. But she's possessed by Zool. Also an ad-lib line where, I don't know, what does she say? I can't remember what she says. It's like I want you inside me. And he goes, well, it sounds like there's already more than one in there. but he calls Egon.
Yeah.
He goes, Egon, I'm with good friend Dana here. And he goes, I just knocked her out with 30 cc's of Thorazine. Why is he carrying
Why is he carrying that?
So is he
I think he's a doctor. Technically, he's a doctor.
But why is he carrying a controlled substance and a hypodermic needle?
Hey, man. You never know. You never know.
Was he planning on raping her?
Oh, man. That's good stuff. That's good stuff.
Anyway, so that was great. We enjoyed the movie night. It worked out better than I would think it would with the projector on the driveway worked out perfect, so we're going to do it again. And
we do that a little bit every once in a while with the neighbors. They set one up in their backyard. We usually watch a kids' movie. We did Superbad last year, and I was like, not with the kids. But I was like, man, but Vera did wake up and come down, like, right as Jonah Hill's doing the dick scene.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, just big massive, veiny ones.
He's a big, veiny bastard.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, my God, Vera, we gotta go. But it was funny shit, man. The only other thing I brought that I wanted to talk about, I heard you and Schilling talk about it, so you clearly watched it, Midnight Mass.
I loved it.
Was so fucking good.
We can spoil it now that Shilly's not here. I think it's the most original vampire story I've seen since Near Dark.
And like I see, and I don't think I've ever watched Near Dark. In fact, I can almost guarantee I never have, unless I watched it as a kid. But like, it was just so good, and like, but not a lot happens until the very, very end. But every episode, like, the dialogue just sucks you in.
And I told Missy that I would probably go to Catholic church if my Catholic priest was like that guy. He was very good.
He was very
good. The guy playing him was very charismatic, but very understated. And everything he said and everything he did was awesome.
Yeah. And then, like, but what it did for me in the beginning of the show was verify all my preconceived notions about any organized religion. Yeah. It's a bunch of fucking wackos.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Are hiding all of their terrible things. Yeah. That they do behind out being absolved.
And there's a lot of it in this town.
And there's a lot. But at the same time, at the end, there is like a... There's no real bad guy in that sense of like organized religion is bad. Like, you think he'd be giving you that mental...
There's two bad guys in the whole thing.
Yeah.
The vampire.
And that one...
And that crazy bitch.
Yeah, that crazy lady. Yeah. And at the end, the whole town does some bad shit, but they're like... Dude, that ending was so fucking satisfying.
It was satisfying and just enough plausible deniability, again, that the vampire might have lived, that we could see a sequel.
You could, but I mean, like, when that little girl goes, I can't feel my legs, that...
meant the vampire was dead.
Probably dead. Yeah. But, I mean, but when...
What was awesome about it, and I know, sorry guys for spoiling it.
This is all spoiling it, so yeah. If you don't...
But the fact that I didn't even know it was a vampire show going into it...
No, neither did I.
I had no idea, and I was like, how the fuck is he doing all this?
Yeah.
And then when he found the cave, and then I was like, uh-oh, I think I know where this is
but
going.
But then, yeah, and then, like, the... Like, why he did what he did, and, like, that extra layer there, but the... what was his name? Riley? Riley or yeah, the main guy.
The good guy?
His end. Dude, man.
That's as good writing in a horror series or movie or anything you're ever gonna see.
I was like, this dude's not gonna do this. And when, then his ending it like I was like,
when
man,
she said
I got literal goosebumps.
I'm gonna tell you, when she said you brought me out here so I couldn't run, and he goes, no, I brought you out here so I couldn't. I look at Missy, I go, fuck, he's committing suicide. Yeah. I'm going to cry.
Yeah. Like, look, I got goosebumps, and I'm sitting in Florida. It's real weird because the setting and everything, like, we're from the Midwest, so, like, normally it's cold, and I'm sitting outside in the beach, and the waves are rolling. I'm getting goosebumps watching it.
Great night. I tell you this, Netflix, between Squid Game, between that, they are crushing it on these things you didn't see coming.
No. And like that guy, that's his, he's 3 for 3 now with them. He did Haunting of Bly Manor and he did Haunting of Hill House.
Oh, I didn't see the second one, Bly Manor.
I didn't watch Bly Manor either. And
Hill House was good.
I only watched half of Hill House because, to be honest with you, it scared the fuck out of me.
Yeah, you're such a pussy.
Dude, it was scaring the shit out of me and I had to turn it off.
It was good.
I didn't have anybody to watch it with.
Oh, man. Come watch them with us.
Yeah, dude, I love that shit. But I was like genuinely... Like, I wish, it was the only time I've ever wished I knew more about Catholicism, so I could be like, because, like, they were getting into some shit, and I was like...
Also, I want to tell you who else is crushing it on Netflix, and I'm sorry I didn't have it pulled up quicker, but Katie Siegel is crushing it on Netflix.
And what's she in?
She was the main star.
Oh, yeah.
She's in a lot of Netflix
stuff.
Dude,
she is, like,
Hush.
Gorgeous.
She was in Hush. Yeah. She is gorgeous. She was in Haunting of Hill House. She was in Hush.
Yeah.
Hush was their first, if I can remember right, one of their first movies that people were like, oh, they're doing some good stuff.
Yeah.
The Midnight Mass, she was in Haunting of Bly Manor. She's in Gerald's Game. She was fucking awesome in that, that Gerald's Game.
Yeah. That's a fucking creepy movie too.
And another, that's a Stephen King one that Netflix got
dude,
right.
Dude, man, that's the only thing I hate about Stephen King books. Like, I really like his son, Joe Hill, and this is going to be like a weird tangent, but that dude, like, has got an absolute obsession with sexual assault of, like, small girls. Yeah. It is, like, too much.
Yeah, a little bit.
But, it takes me out of it.
Speaking of weird writers and stuff, I did listen to, and I've never listened to the first one, but I listened to this week's, I think it's this week's Joe Rogan, and he had Chuck Palahniuk on there.
Yeah.
He's a weird dude, man.
Yeah, super weird.
But in a cool way, because his books are awesome.
Yeah.
But, like, he, you know, he wrote one of the first, a book of short stories. It was one of the first books to be banned from public libraries.
Oh, really?
And it was
that brutal, huh?
Yeah, and one of the things that people picked about it was the Mr. Hands story. He wrote a... You know what Mr. Hands is, right?
No.
Mr. Hands is the code name for the guy that was really having sex with a horse that it penetrated too deep and it killed him. It's a real story. We'll look it up when we're done.
Okay, hold on. Why is he Mr. Hands, though?
That was the name that they... apparently this guy...
So the horse is having sex with him.
Yeah. They would put a bunch of...
Mare
pheromone on it, but it damaged his internal organs.
Yeah, I can see how that would happen.
But Mr. Hands was how they were releasing it onto the internet. Mm. You can find the videos.
I'd rather not.
Yeah, don't. but anyway, and apparently this guy had some kind of injury in life to where he was not getting satisfaction, like couldn't physically get satisfaction from normal sex. He could only get satisfaction from having large things shoved into his rectum. Okay. That's the only way. But anyway, that's
whatever,
a
man.
So Chuck Palahniuk told one of his short stories is what happened to that horse after that a person buys the horse and all these millions of people are, and it gets a little dark because it's Palahniuk, but they cited that as two things: one, in bad taste, and two, that it was profitizing off of a tragic accident and stuff. And he's like, you know, it was a story I had to tell, so that's why I told it. I don't care what you think. But anyway, his dad was brutally murdered.
Chuck Palahniuk?
Yeah, by a jealous ex-husband of his dad later in life was like,
okay,
getting back out in the dating world, like in like 99.
Oh,
like,
wow.
So, and then, like, so he has these weird stories. And like, Chuck Palahniuk, too, has, like, when he was a kid, or not a kid, when he was in college, he was doing his writing and he was getting bad reviews, and his teachers were saying, you just aren't finding it. And he got attacked by a group of kids that were apparently, it was like an early version of the Knockout Game.
Mm-hmm.
And he suffered head trauma, broke a jaw. Immediately the next day started writing amazing stories.
That's wild.
Yeah, like how head trauma can change people's personality and stuff. Started writing dark, cool shit. But anyway, that's wild. Yeah, it was a very fun thing.
He looks like kind of like a psychopath.
Yeah, he really does. he does. Yeah, so I get, if that's all you brought, let's just go ahead and throw it to Missy real quick.
Yeah, I think that's all
Missy's
I brought, really.
Not here, and let's just do anything quick that we have to hit on. One of the things I was going to bring up is tomorrow, for my birthday, I'm going to say it again, I'm going to watch that Army of Thieves. I'm kind of excited about it. I'm looking forward to it.
Does it bother you at all that you already know how all those people die, or at least he dies?
Well, it's to set up why they're going after that safe to begin with and all that stuff.
I was kind of out of it, and then I saw that they had zombies in it, and I'm like, okay, I'm in now.
Yeah, well, I tell you what it is. It's his style is going to make me want to watch it.
Yeah, and I like that character. Like, in the preview that they have on Netflix, like they're running through the rundown of the I think Zazie Beetz is in it, and she's running through the thing and everybody's like, she's like, any questions? And everybody goes no, and he goes, yes, hundreds. Just starts asking questions.
Yeah.
That's stuff.
That's one reason I'm gonna watch it too. That actor seems really good. One thing I was gonna bring up, I'm almost through the second trade of Once in the Future. The first one was awesome.
Yeah, right?
Second one's been good. The only reason I didn't just shotgun straight through it is I also downloaded Crossover.
Okay, what's that one?
Also in Hoopla. It's kind of hard to describe. What it is it's a world where comic book characters come out of the comic books and start a big war. And one of the Doctor Strange-like characters sets up a like containment grid around, and people think it's to save the humanity, but it was actually designed to save them, because it turns out the humans, regular people, are the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell a person's a comic book character because you know how the whole dot, like newspaper print dots, that's what they look like in the story. But they do have powers, but they're also found a way to nullify their powers. So they're, it's called Crossover because all the comic book characters in the world are crossing over in an epic battle.
Oh, that's cool.
And they were causing all kinds of collateral damage. But the whole point of this story is one girl gets smuggled out, and these people have to get her back in because she's telling what bad atrocities are being done to these comic book people. They're like dissecting them, essentially. Uh-huh. So they want to go back in and help expose it. And she comes up with this ragtag team. And keep in mind, I did not know who published this or anything. I just downloaded it and read it. This ragtag team of superheroes And I was like, man, I recognize these names and stuff. And then they're going through, and then she had this drawing, and it's kind of a crude little kid drawing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the leader of the group, and it comes out, and it's Mike Aldridge's Madman.
Oh, okay.
These are all Dark Horse characters.
Oh, cool.
That have actually appeared in real comic books.
Oh, that's awesome.
And they mention, like, Doctor Strange. They mm-hmm. mention other things. So they kind of this is all Dark Horse characters that are, and I was like, okay, I'm hooked.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to spoil.
There's only one trade on there right now, though.
Yeah, and that's the only one I've read. Mm-hmm. And that's the only spoiler I'll give you, and that happens early enough to not ruin it. But there's a lot of cool twists and turns to this book, so you're going to dig it.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
So that was my recommendation, and throw it to Missy.
I read Berserker, which is Keanu Reeves'.
We talked about that on here for a second.
Did you talk about it?
No, you did. Or maybe we were just together and we talked about it after.
I texted you guys about it.
No, it was after the last time me, Jay, and you were on. We talked about it upstairs.
It's okay. I mean, it's not great.
It reads a lot like you and I talked about Chrononauts. It reads like it was designed to be a movie or a series.
And it is. Like, it's already basically been picked up to be a movie.
Well, and it's already basically been made a couple times.
Yeah. That's the end. I mean, in my brain always leaves it. The Charlize Theron one that we always watch.
Old Guard.
Old Guard, thank you. Yeah. I always want to say Old Boy. I'm like, it's not Old Boy. Anyways, Old Guard's way better. But, I mean, there's a good idea there. I mean, he's just a weapon. He's 80,000 years old. The drawings are ridiculously brutal. And, like, his creation, like, he's created by a lightning bolt. Did you read it?
Only the first two issues. That's all I've read.
So he's created, like, basically...
Is a trade out now?
Yeah, the trade's out.
The only reason I didn't read it all, because, you know, with Hoopla, you only get so many a month.
Yeah.
And if you do the single issues, it's a pain in the ass.
So the trade's out, and his creation is, like, his mom prays to a god, and it's answered in the form of a lightning bolt, and they felt the need to, like, draw the lightning bolt going into her uterus.
Oh, that's awesome.
I was like... This is completely unnecessary.
That is awesome.
But it was great. Whatever. It was fun. There's stuff that's way better, but when the movie comes out, I'll watch it.
The other thing I want to talk about, too, there's two more things. I'm going to close on a sad note here in a little bit, but or a shout-out and say goodbye on a sad note. But before that, sort of sad note. When I say mm-hmm. sad note, I'm only talking in terms of boozing it up.
Yeah.
The thing before is we are done with October, and I don't know that we... successfully did one.
Bring on Christmas.
Yeah, right. This is the holiday season now. I don't know if we successfully did it every night because there were some nights where we had a lot of stuff going on, but I do believe Missy and I once again accomplished at least 31 horror movies this month.
There you go.
We did it, man. And I'll tell you what I mean, Shudder, of course, helps us.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix, so I'm going to give you my overall rating between Shudder, Amazon Prime, Hulu, Peacock.
Mm-hmm.
What else is out there? Obviously Netflix.
Paramount Plus.
So there's six of the big ones, and mm-hmm. I think we have all of them.
Do you really?
So we got to get
rid of
something.
Did you watch Halloween Kills?
That's the only reason we got Paramount Plus.
Can you watch it if you sign up for free?
No. You got to pay the $5. You don't have to pay $10.
I'll pay $5.
That's why we did it. Halloween Kills is by no means a good scary movie, and a lot of people are hating on it. But
it was good.
In terms of an action movie, it's pretty sad. You know what? Good way to bring this up, too. We always go hard against the right on here, and we should, the far right.
Uh-huh.
We should go hard against things. Like, can you imagine?
We should also go hard against the far left.
Can you imagine, and I don't want to dwell on this, but I'm going to bring this up. Can you imagine any other political figure other than Donald Trump participating in the chop on national TV during a baseball game?
No.
Like, that is...
It's his brand, though. He has
bullying
to do it.
And trolling is his brand.
That's what he has to do.
But anyway, that was absurd. But equally absurd, other than... And I'm talking about equally absurd, is one... PETA going to the arm barn.
Oh, Jesus.
That's
Christ.
So fucking dumb. Like, what? So bulls can go to a game and not be feel threatened? That's so stupid.
Bigger problems.
But the hate.
I liked your Urban Dictionary connection or wherever you got that Urban Dictionary for the arm bar thing.
No, that wasn't me. I was Jay or Tom, one of those.
Was it?
Two.
Okay.
Yeah. So the other thing, though, that is equally absurd as all that from the far left. Is the hate that Halloween Kills is getting because now Michael Myers is homophobic and they shouldn't make movies like
that. Killed a gay guy?
He killed a gay couple in the movie. I don't remember. Oh, Chris D'Elia, who's actually back into touring and doing stuff again. Mm-hmm. And it turns out Chris D'Elia just made poor choices. He wasn't trying to have sex with underage girls, but he was being too flirty. I mean, well, I don't know all the details.
It's a gray area.
It's a gray area, but he was like, he's kind of bounced back from it. But I watched the thing for him, and he goes, he brings it up. He goes, the problem isn't that Michael Myers killed a gay couple. Problem is Michael Myers kills a lot of people. Andy's fake, and you dumbasses are holding him accountable.
Is that a real fucking thing?
And I told Missy, here's my problem, and we're not going to get onto this because I talked about this on a previous episode. I'm very irritated at the left for how they're going after Dave Chappelle because clearly...
Yeah, I know. I listened to you.
So clearly the people that going after him haven't watched the special.
He did... The people going after him are doing exactly what he wanted them to do.
He's smarter than them.
Yes.
And funnier.
I don't know what his like beef on Hannah Gadsby is.
But he didn't have one until she went hard at him.
Did she go hard at him?
She organized the protest. She walked out of Netflix.
Oh, was she the one they organized? Yeah. Okay, well then fine.
And then some dumb fuck, I will bring this up. Some dumb fuck on Twitter brought up, because Dave Chappelle said one of his things was, you have to admit that Hannah Gadsby is not funny. Yeah. So the woke left Twitter verse, which the Twitter is the most ultimate extreme.
It's not real in his words. Yeah.
But one of the people posted his metric score on Rotten Tomatoes compared to her. Keep in mind, here was
also not real.
Well, look at it this way, and I think you'll appreciate this. His critic score for The Closer was 36%.
Mm-hmm.
Hers was 98 or 100.
Yeah,
which we know the. Critics,
I tried watching it.
The critics are woke left, right?
Mm-hmm.
His audience score was 99%. Hers, like 17. So
I tried watching hers, and there was funny parts, but I didn't love it.
Regular people, like you and me, and I'm not.
I just relate to it.
Yeah, regular people find funny, and it's subjective. And so some comic said, by the way, I didn't find hers funny, and I found Dave Chappelle's very funny, and. Yeah. It's okay if you don't, you find it the other, because comedy's subjective.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I do think that Dave went a little hard in some spots.
Yeah.
He could have pulled back a little bit. He maybe punched down once or twice, but I think he balanced it out. But that's his, it's always been his comedy.
But back to my point was, is the people, you know, those people that are bitching about him didn't watch the special to see that lovely story finish.
Yeah.
And in Halloween Kills, they clearly didn't watch it because the point of it, I told Missy, we were watching, I said, the internet's mad that he kills this gay couple that we're seeing. The gay couple might be the most likable people in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's Big John and Little John. And they call each other. One will go walk in the room, goes, hey, Big John. He goes, yeah, Little John, or vice versa. And they do it constantly like a Mark. And when they know there's someone in their house, they do it like a Marco Polo. It's sweet. Mm-hmm. And one of them's tough, but not in a flamboyant queer way. Like, he wants to. Now, Mike Myers fucks him up.
Yeah.
But he's not scared. I go, this is a gay couple that needs to be on screen. Yeah. And in a horror movie, those are the people that need to be killed. The people that you
It's
like.
Equal opportunity.
Yeah, that's right. That's so dumb. Anyway.
It's such a waste of time. So, I think the people who complain about critical race theory aren't serious, actual people. But like, there is like a small thread in that to where you say, like, if you're separating people based on their feelings and this and that, you are like making it worse. By trying to make it better, you're actually making it worse. Like, just call out assholes for being assholes and leave it as simple as that.
Right. But back to where I was going from all of this, one of our biggest, longest tangents we've had in a while, is of the 31 movies and all the platforms that we used, I can tell you that it's probably a close tie with Shudder and Amazon Prime were the most that we used to watch things.
Did you watch Black as Night?
No, I haven't watched that one yet.
It's like a black vampire movie.
Yeah, I haven't watched that one yet. That one's on
Prime.
Prime, yeah. Hulu was a distant third, followed by Paramount, and followed by Peacock. But Netflix was a distant... Netflix has some really good original scary stuff.
Yeah.
But in terms of Halloween... Like,
classic stuff is not there.
It's very limited. Mm-hmm. Very limited.
Unless you want, like, random B-movies.
Yeah, yeah. But even then, the classic B-movies are on the other platform.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I'm talking random, yeah, not classic.
So Netflix, of all the great things it does... Original horror, it does well, but to go past that, it's very limited.
What I know Halloween is your, because you guys have said
it's
it,
Missy's favorite, one of her favorite movies.
What is the one that you watch every year?
I don't know there's one I watch, because I lived growing up in the country, and I've told the story how we had free cable for an accident that a tree hit in our house. and not being able to get around people. I've watched so much scary stuff.
So have I, but like
so much. Like
I go back every year to 30 Days a Night. I genuinely love that movie. Yeah,
that's a good
movie.
One. I should do that next year. But no, there's nothing. I mean, if you want to know what my go-to every year, it's Monster Squad.
I watch that too with the kids.
I watch that every year.
Every year with the kids.
It's
just, it makes me laugh how terribly cheesy it is.
My next solo episode when we have another conflict of schedules is going to be the top 10 most Jeremy movies of all time.
Okay.
And Monster Squad's on it.
Yeah.
Like, I watch it. I can watch it now, even
genuinely,
though I watched it twice already.
One of my favorite things in movies and things that take, you know, like you kind of talk to Mike about things that, like, as a director, does it take you out? The animal extra choices in Monster Squad crack me up. The bats are terrible.
Oh, the bats
like,
are really bad.
In the opening scene with the vampires, there's an armadillo.
Yeah.
Like, why?
I don't know.
And then they clearly live in an upper northeastern town, and there's a python at some point out in the woods. And I'm like, none of these animals make sense anywhere in this movie. Like, yeah, I know awesome. It was the 80s, but like, were you just like, call an animal guy, and he showed up with an armadillo and a python. We're like, fuck it, we'll make it work.
yeah, I'm telling you, download Tubi, sign up if you haven't.
It's free, but
it's free.
Yeah.
Watch
Monster Squad's on Prime.
Well, no, but Wolfman's Got Nards is free on Tubi, and that's the documentary about it.
Oh, okay.
Because it tanked.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, there's things you can't say now.
But
like,
it makes it, no. It tanked at the box office and lived as a.
Yeah, cult classic.
Yeah, but so my world, a 10-year-old me who saw it in a theater, so I don't know if I told this story on the podcast, but I went and saw it at the theater because my grandma was dying, my father's mom. And so my mom, even though my mom and dad had been divorced for a long time at that point, we were all waiting at the hospital for like 3 days for her to pass away. My mom came and scooped all of me and my cousins up, and since my dad had six sisters, you can imagine how many cousins there was.
Yeah.
And took us to the movie, and that's the movie we went and saw.
Oh yeah, that'd be awesome.
And one, it was a great movie. Two, it was a memory I'll always have. So in my opinion, it wasn't until I became an adult that I realized that movie bombed. How could it have bombed? It was all I talked about for an entire summer.
Yeah,
I mean, it couldn't have bombed. You know, in my world,
like it's so much fun. Like the Wolfman is a complicated character.
You gotta watch Wolfman Got Nards because they get into how the special effects, how what movie characters they had the rights to.
Yeah,
they talk about some of the choices they made. For instance, Scary German Guy.
Hmm.
And you also need to download the Confused Breakfast podcast and listen to that. Scary German, you know what his name is in the movie?
Hmm.
You know, because he's only credited as Scary German Guy, and he plays a large role and never tells his name.
That's hilarious. That didn't dawn on me.
Yeah.
But I mean, like the you're not a virgin shit.
There's so much whore shaming. Fat shaming.
They use the
faggot.
Use faggot, and I'm like, man, that's the only thing. Like when we're watching it, like with my kids, I'm like, that word you can't use that word. Guys.
So what's great though, when you watch, you will watch. Go home and watch Wolfman Got Nards. You're gonna love doing that. You will. So they took when it somehow they found out in like 99 or 2000 that this movie had a big following. So they started talking about getting a reunion together, and then because of the Alamo Draft House, they're like, can we get a viewing of it? And then
they make you take it out.
No. They brought the actors in and do a Q&A, and they say, we've done this. So the whole documentary is about all the story around making it and that. And then it's kind of focused around them following them on this tour of the movie. Every single theater, the moment Horace goes, my name is Horace.
Yeah.
The crowd cheers and stands up.
Oh, yeah, dude, that's
up.
So fucking sweet.
So that kid died from pneumonia, that dude, in
Did
later
he really?
In life. He ended up, he was kind of an awkward dude his whole life. Ended up getting a little older, marrying his big crush, a girl that he was in love with from the moment he saw her. And or I don't know if they got married. They might have been engaged. But he got pneumonia, and it was mistreated in the hospital, and he died.
Oh,
and all of the actors go, the biggest travesty of this movie is not that it wasn't a commercial success. It's that the kid that played Horace did not live long enough to know how much he inspired people and how big of an impact this movie had on generations.
Dude, it's such a good movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's so much fun.
They even go to some college professor who shows it in his class, and they talk about it, and they certainly break down. He goes, and we talk about all of it. The poor choice in today's climate of verbiage.
Yeah.
The story arcs of each character, what you like about it. And my favorite, I think I talked about it on the podcast. I may not have. I did on the, if you watched the movie with us. I don't think.
I didn't watch the movie with you.
No, don't do that. It's only if you ever watch that movie, then turn it on.
Yeah.
Because you're going to like that movie if you listen to our
podcast. You won't.
Is my favorite thing is the guy who was the ringleader. I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but he's the ringleader of the Monster Squad in the documentary. You know, they don't cover this in the documentary, but there's a story in an interview where someone asked him, you know, you guys got compared and maybe the reason you failed a lot to Goonies. What do you think differences? He goes, well, the Goonies was awesome. They saved their town. The Monster Squad saved the world. And then he mic dropped and walked off.
That's true.
But anyway, I've talked a lot about that.
That's it, man. We talked about everything I wanted to talk about.
This popped up today, literally about an hour before we went on. And I want to bring this up to all my friends in Kansas City, all my friends here in St. Louis, and anybody that's ever traveled and partied in Westport in Kansas City. Joe's Pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of like New York Pizza or Epic Pizza that's next to in Soulard.
Mm-hmm.
Joe's Pizza, at 27 years in business, is closing its doors finally. And I got to tell you, there's not one pizza spot in my life that I've had more drunk than Joe's Pizza.
Yeah.
Joe's Pizza.
Buy it by the slice?
Yeah. And nice. They have two windows. They have one from the street.
Mm-hmm.
And they have one that's in Kelly's Bar, which is one of the oldest bars in the state of Missouri. Mm-hmm. And we've talked on this podcast. I've literally seen Dwayne holding himself up by the wall on his face, just giving himself enough room to slide the pizza. I've had pizza there like six different times in one day because I started drinking like on Mardi Gras at like 6 a.m. I mean, that place is as part of Kansas City as I've ever. It's sad to see it go. I didn't read all the reasons and stuff yet, but I did want to give a shout out. You know, it'd be it'd be like for me if fucking, you know, Bottle Works closed here in St. Louis. It would be disheartening.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah. So that's all I got.
That's it, man.
Yeah, so we managed.
Pretty good episode.
Yeah, we managed to put out an episode. We talked about, you know, some funny stuff, hopefully, that people thought that. But we don't have Tom. But have we ever really had him? That's what I want to say. And we don't have Jay.
Like an enigma.
Yeah, and he got sick, but we do have Bender.
Yes, sir, and hold on to your butts, people.
We will play the music.